is the farther away you get from a structure, then it will look lower on the horizon. So this is a little bit farther north, 965 or 945 maybe. And then 975 North Lacey Lane. 995 North. And then 1015 North. Getting close to Bergie Lane. And 1035 North Lacey Lane. So that is, we have the applicant here, but those are the slides I have for the proposed height amendment. Again, the city, the planning commission can ask for more information. But I'm happy to take any questions on this part of it. We have the other three items to go over as we move forward. And we can come back to this too, so maybe I should go through these other items and then we can come back to this. So the next one is regarding the parking on site. It's always interesting with resorts, there are formulas for looking at how much parking is required, and since there's so many combined uses, where somebody stays at the hotel, you don't need a parking stall for the hotel room plus the restaurant because they'll park in one spot and be able to go over to the restaurant. So the parking has already been reduced by over 300. And that's pretty typical in a resort setting because you have so many combined uses with other places. Well, with, in this case, we have the spa, restaurant, event center, and then the hotel units. And what was required with the master plan agreement was 302 stalls. The applicant is proposing to reduce the parking to 287, so that's a 15 stall reduction. And then the reduction proposal is based on the resort having vans on site. So in the application, it's stated one 15 person resort owned passenger van is the equivalent of 5 cars or 5 parking spaces. 3 vans are proposed for the resort. So that's kind of the justification for reducing the parking. And it's hard to say how successful a business or resort's gonna be and what the parking situation's gonna be. Kind of the thought from staff, and we did the same thing with the Homestead Master Plan, was to require really an alternative plan. If there is a parking issue, there's a site designated where parking can be built and on site. So not to build it just kind of in fear of a parking problem, but there, if there truly is a parking problem, making adjustments at that point to make sure the parking is taken care of on site. So as we move forward, and this is going to be tough to see, this shows the layout of all the parking at the on the Omni Alley site. And over here it does say 302 stalls. Again, it's pretty light. And then with their proposed parking plan, what they're proposing is the 287 stalls on site. Now, you did talk to Chuck Heath on Friday. He said that there were some sites designated for future parking stalls. I don't have a drawing for that, but I'm sure the applicant can address that issue. And then the next item, the third item for the master plan amendment, is reduce the number of phases from 4 to 2. So initially we had this phase 1, which included everything in the south area, and then the road that cut all the way up to Bergie Lane, even coming off this map. We needed to have 2 points of access, so phase 1 covered the vast majority of the infrastructure on site. Phase 2 is the core building, phase 3 is the hotels, and phase 4 were the cottages. As being proposed, is just have all three of these phases on the north, the core, the hotel, and the cottages be the second phase. So they'd be all recorded as one plat. We haven't identified any problems with that, and it meets our code. So no issues with that proposal. And then the third one is to remove the private road from phase 2 and replace it with a walking path. Now this would allow for more spacing in the cottage area. And we have reviewed this. The biggest issue is making sure there's fire access for the fire code. Our fire marshal has stated there's not an issue with the proposed amendment. So this is how it's been approved right now. This is the main road coming through. And then there's this side road that kind of cuts up into the cottages. With the proposal, this main road would still go through, but the side road would actually be a stub, and then there would just be kind of a pathway that would cut through. Kind of the general idea with the there's hardly any stalls over here at the cottages or the hotels. So this is mainly you did walk over to your room, or there'd be some on-site transportation to move somebody over to the room. So the road itself isn't necessarily per the transportation plan for the resort. So we haven't identified any major issues with removing the road. There are some possible findings to consider for the Planning Commission. So whatever motion is made, you'd want to have findings that back up the reasoning for the motion. So some of them to consider: the proposed amendment to increase height could negatively impact neighboring properties. The resort code does allow heights up to 55 feet if all requirements are met, so I should explain that a little bit more. Normally in the resort zone, if you go through a visual analysis from neighboring properties, it is possible to actually go above 35 feet, and this is the only place in the city where this is possible. And you can actually reach up to 55 feet for the structure itself, and architectural elements can go above that. As we went through the approval process for Amiali, it was brought up really from the memorandum of understanding with the Salmon Lake Conservancy that 35 feet would be the limit. And so that's what was put into the master plan agreement, was 35 feet. Again, more restrictive than what the code would allow. But we are at a point in the process now that that's what's been agreed to, and so there's no guarantee that that can be changed. It's really up to the city's discretion to change from 35 to 55, even though the code would allow it in some cases in the resort zone. And number three, it is currently unknown if there will be enough parking for the resort. Much like any business, it is recommended that a contingency plan is developed in case parking is not sufficient, so regarding the parking issue. And then reducing phasing from 4 to 2 phases should not have a negative consequence. Number five, the removal of the private road from phase 4 will comply with fire code requirements and will create better spacing in that area. We do have some conditions for the Planning Commission to consider. Again, this depends on the motion that's made. And this is the Planning Commission is a recommending body. They're, as this moves forward in the process, we'll go to the City Council, and that's where the final decision will be made. So number one, the developer floats balloons at the site of the core building at heights of 35 and 48 to visualize the impact of the proposed change. So balloons were flown on site again last Friday, and some were able to come out and take a look at that. Now, we only had balloons at the proposed height. There wasn't anything at the 35-foot mark, which, you know, we were hoping to see the difference between the two, so we could see if there was what the impact would be. We did get the impact of about 45, and the balloons were flown at 45, not 48, as we understand, at least on those 2 points that we were looking at. Number two, the developer includes more landscaping, mostly conifers along the boundary with Lacey Lane Estates, help mitigate the visual impact of the increased height of the core building. So obviously you'd only have that condition if there was a recommendation of approval of lifting the height. And then number three, the developer identifies future potential parking areas to be developed if parking is determined to be an issue at the resort. So at the Homestead Resort, if the city planner and city engineer both agree that there is a parking issue, that would be the catalyst for them developing the new parking areas. Something similar could be written into the master plan agreement for Amiali if the Planning Commission wanted to move forward with that type of a plan. Are there any questions for staff on these items?
What's the projected maximum occupancy
of the resort?
Of the resort. The whole, if everything was booked.
Yeah, and so we have the number of rooms, but we do have the architect here, and he could probably address that issue more accurately than I could. I do have all the documents, but I have to look back at the documents to give you the exact number.
Does anyone have any questions for staff?
Where are the parking spaces being removed from? Do we have a picture, like before and after? Like where, what's the area that they're coming
really
from?
My understanding, and I can be corrected if wrong, is initially the plans that we had, there's underground parking underneath the core building, and the number of stalls in the initial application, I can't remember the exact number, let's say it showed 100. When we got the more precise application for preliminary for phase one, that the actual parking area was down to 85, for instance. And so it's more the parking underneath the core building was less than what was anticipated.
And are staff going to be parking on site?
Yeah, staff will be parking on site, that's correct. So that park
So I'm sure we'll dig into this, but just so I guess we understand, we're asking to raise the whole building, but it's all has subterranean parking as well?
Yeah, pretty much the whole, not the whole.
Well, the whole.
But quite a bit of it does.
Okay.
And there is a drawing that, this is really difficult to see, but that's the underground parking for the building. It's part of the building, not the entire building.
Michael, can I add a correction to that? It's not underground parking, it's first level parking.
Yeah, it's underneath the building.
Yeah, so it's not in the groundwater.
Okay.
If that's what you're referring to, it's ground level parking.
Okay.
The proposed wording change, though, is except for the core building that can go to 48 feet in height. That's the entire core building. That's the proposed wording changes to that, not architectural elements, but the core building itself, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any questions?
I do. I wasn't on Planning Commission when this first came, Amiali came in, but if they would have come forward with the 48 feet in the beginning, how would that have gone over?
Yeah, that's
with the Planning Commission.
Speculation for sure. I mean, part of it is the Summit Land Conservancy had some control over that issue before we even looked at it as a city. But
and were they against or for or get higher or, you know, or did they have concerns on getting higher?
Summit Land Conservancy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly what happened in that conversation, but ultimately they did restrict it to 35, so they must have had some thought process along those lines. If it would have been proposed on the city side, there is a process in the code, and I did outline it in the staff report that somebody would follow to be able to determine if the city council would allow them to go above 35 up to possibly 55 feet. And that includes a visual analysis from the neighboring properties. It includes looking specifically at the topography of the site and if there were any alternative options available. So it's not a guarantee to go above 35, but it is possible for an applicant to petition for that.
Gotcha.
So both the Summit Land Conservancy and Midway must both agree to the height. What if one has a different, what if they say yes and we say no, then what happens?
Yeah, if, for instance, if they say yes and we say no, we would enforce 35 feet.
Okay.
Now, if they said, if we said yes and they said no, there wouldn't be a way for us to enforce their rules. It would be up to them to civilly enforce their own rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
The applicant wish to say anything?
Thanks, Chairman. Paul Berg with Berg Engineering. Also with me tonight is Overland, who is the architect, and then Russ Watts is the contractor on phase one. So a few points that I'd like to go through on each of the items, but I first want to start with phasing to see if you have any questions about changing it from four phases to two phases. Great, we'll move on. What about removing the inner private road and just allowing a cart path for our golf carts and other things to move people in and out of their cottages?
Public access or private access?
It's private, removing the private road. Okay. Well, let's talk about the building height and then the parking. So a few key points I want to add to Michael's presentation is, first of all, the top of roof never exceeds the 35 feet. So when we talk about the areas that are above 35, they're either the top of the planter box or it's some element like an elevator shaft or an architectural feature. Those are allowed per your resort code. Michael's already explained why we're having more discussions about this, and it has to do with the Summit Land agreement. If Summit Land was to say, oh, that's what we intended, or at least be willing to amend the agreement to match the city code, I would hope the city would just move forward and allow us to be treated like any other resort that allows heights.